the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, it is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm back. It's another Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, whatever time it is, or where you at if you're listening live. Could be morning. Here to talk comic books. Today we're going to get a couple reviews in. And then, of course, if you stick around after the show, you're going to have more to listen to. Because we are on a pay-per-view Sunday. This is the weekend for the WWE SummerSlam. So Rant EM Radio will be covering that starting at 6 p.m., which is a little less than an hour from now. Now, of course, if you're interested in all the comic book fun, that's what I'm here for. You can listen live on the Rant EM Radio .com chat room. You can listen and tune in, or Stitcher. And of course, you can listen on download Podbeam and iTunes. But I would rather you listen live. So if you're out there in the universe and you hear my voice, thanks for listening. And the two things I want to review is the new DC animated feature, Batman and Harley Quinn. Came out on video on demand this week. Should be out on Blu-ray in a couple weeks. And also, in the last couple of days, Defenders hit Netflix. All 8 episodes, finally getting the team up of Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones and Iron Fist finally coming together to form a team to keep New York safe. And of course, there's going to be the Eclipse this coming week. And I don't know if you're prepared for it, but if you are, you know, be safe. Don't try to look at it with your bare eyes, because then you go blind. You don't want that. Okay, I know what I'm looking for. Sorry. I'm trying to do too many things at one time. Something I should have did before I started the show, but forgot to do it. So, just give me a second while I'm talking slow. Anyway, alright, so, almost did what I gotta do, and then I will properly do this show. Hope you've been keeping cool out there. You know, summer's almost over. School's starting up for some of you. You know, I didn't know that some places school started in August, because I didn't usually go to school until September. You know, the Friday after the holiday coming up soon. But, you know, I guess different states do it different ways. where am I at? I want box office numbers. So, of course, I'm having this never-ending struggle with my browser. Thanks a lot, Microsoft. So, as far as box office this week, nothing new came out. Dropping down to fifth place, The Nut Job, Nutty by Nature, brought in $5 million to its total of $17 million. It's a budget of $40. I don't know if that's going to make its money back. Unlike the Emoji Movie, which most people thought was worse, came in sixth place with a $4.3 million total. It's up to $71 million on a $50 million budget, so don't be surprised if we get a sequel. I doubt it, but let's keep our fingers crossed. Spider-Man drops down to 7th with a $4.2 million, and its total is up to $314 million. So, you know, if it says Spider-Man, most likely it'll be a hit. Unless it says Amazing Spider-Man. Dark Tower drops down to 9th with 3.7. It's up to $41 million. Below its $60 million budget. So it'll be looked upon as a failure, but it's not a terrible movie. Atomic Blonde drops down to 13th with 2.2 to its total of $47 million with a $30 million budget. Despicable Me 3 is 14th, another $2 million to its $251 million. War of the Planet of the Apes is down to 15th with $1.9 million. Excuse me. It's a total. It's a $140 million. Wonder Woman is 16. It's added another million to its $404 million. And that's it. Everything else has dropped down too far to dimension. It's not really making no money. And those are the totals for box office as far as comic book movies are concerned. Now, let's see. Let's get into the Batman Harley Quinn movie first. After I post something on Facebook, if it will let me. Okay. Well, all right, come on. So, Batman Harley Quinn, this is, I've lost count of how many animated features DC had put out. I think they're up to an anniversary at this point. And most of them are pretty good movies. There's been only a few duds. Now, this is done by Bruce Timm. He wrote the story, so you get the guy from the Batman animated series, and you get returning Batman voice of Kevin Conroy as Batman and Lauren Lester as Nightwing. Pageant Brewster is Poison Ivy, and Melissa Ranch is Harley Quinn. Now, this movie, the way I look at it, it's kind of a combination of elements from the animated series, elements from the Unlimited series, and even elements from the Batman 66 cartoon, which is only two. One's out, one's not out. And the deal is Harley Quinn. No, not sorry, not Harley Quinn. Let me slow down. Poison Ivy has teamed up with the Fluorescent Man, who's voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson. And, you know, they hate people and they want to turn everything into plants and they think they're saving the planet. And they've gotten the notes and the formula for what created the swamp thing. that what's this monster's real name?
Alec Holland.
Yeah, thank you. Alec Holland was working on, and they want to try to use that to change the world, and they capture this scientist to help them. So of course, Batman and Nightwing, they come in to investigate a break-in by these two, and they thinking, Ivory's up to something, and we need somebody that can help us find it. So of course, the person they come up with is Harley Quinn, because Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, you know, they have a close relationship as women and stuff, and you know, it's sometimes their relationship has gone beyond just friends, but that's for another day. So they set out to find Harley Quinn, and Nightwing finds her working at this restaurant where the waitresses dress up as superheroes and supervillains. And Harley Quinn, she calls herself giving up dealing with heroes and villains, and has kind of dropped off the radar. And she's using this job as to hide in plain sight. So on her job, of course, she's dressed as Harley Quinn. And Nightwing figures out it's her and follows her. And he has to try to convince her to help them. And then when Batman shows up, she's like, okay, I'll help. And they go to stop these two. But when you're dealing with Harley Quinn, you never know what you're going to get, because she's unpredictable and she's still kind of a psychopath. But while Batman and Nightwing deal with Harley Quinn, the movie devolves into something comical. I mean, it's really funny. Some of the lines she spits out and some of the situations they get in dealing with her. But there's still a serious situation here, because, you know, humanity could come to an end. Because, I mean, not just by being turned into plants, but, you know, if these two get this formula wrong, you know, they could end up killing everything and everyone, and not just plants, animals and everything, bugs. So, you know, it's a really dire situation, which they have to find a way to stop these two. Now, part of the problem is the fluorescent man, he's kind of hard to bring down. He's kind of like the evil version of the Swamp Thing, so, and he's from another dimension, and he really hates people. Harley Quinn don't have Poison Ivy has no love for them either, so can they bring them down now is the question that this movie answers. And I say you must see this film. If you buy these films in your collection, then this is one you'll want to add to your collection, because I was coughing up a lung laughing so much. And there's some things in the movie I just can't get out of my head, because I mean, maybe after another week, but, you know, some things happen, and it keeps popping up. And I'm not talking about the one situation in which is already being posted online with Harley Quinn and Nightwing. Not that situation, but. So, Doom, you're on the line. Did you see this movie yet?
Nah, man. I was going to talk about the Defenders.
We'll get to that in a minute. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm jumping in, man.
I'm on point.
Is it going to be a short show today?
No, we're going to go off around 6-ish, before 6.
Oh, that's what I was wondering, you know. That's all. No. Nah, I want to see it. It's one of the things I'm going to put on my list.
So you're going to wait till it come out on video?
When I get the money to get it.
Stanley, it's an animated movie. It's a DVD. You can get it on video on demand now. Well, you're overseas, so I don't know how long it's going to take for it to get over there. But, you know, come talk to me later. Maybe I can show you where you can watch it. Anyway, I saw it in the theater last Monday because it screened for one night. And, you know, I wanted to see it early so I can get to jump on it and know what I was watching. And I was highly entertained by it. Batman, who he is, and you know, Nightwing. he's not as serious as Batman. So he gets himself in situations where, Batman's just shaking his head like, I can't believe I've been partners with this guy for this many years. And even and then, there's even points where Batman has to do things that he normally wouldn't want to do. But, you know, you got to save the day, so he's Batman. And, you know, Kevin Conroy, you know, he's always good as voicing Batman, so you can't go wrong with that. And Bruce Timm does the voice of Booster Gold. He doesn't show up in there, but you do hear his voice. And no one else really shows up in this. No other Justice League members. And there's no Alfred. There's no Robin or anything like that. So.
No Beast Boy Cyborg?
No. Well, they don't really show up in these Batman movies. But I will say it kind of got back to... It didn't seem like it was a new 52 cartoon, but at times it did seem like it was the animated style seemed to change on me. This is my personal opinion. Like, it changed on me a few times. That's why I say, like, it added some Unlimited elements from the Batman Unlimited series. Like, it, just at one point, it looked like the animation changed just a slightly bit, and then there's a scene where it looked like it was the 66 Batman animation, only for a brief moment. So.
That's ridiculous.
Why you say it's ridiculous?
I know, man. I like when animation set
the whole thing,
unless it was like the you remember the Batman the one that came between the second the Nolan one, the animated one. The same people who did the Animatrix. I can't think of the name. When they had the different styles and the storytelling.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The anime Batman.
Yeah, I like that. You're going to do different styles if you're telling different stories. You know what I mean?
Well, look, I said, to me it seemed like that. And I thought, look, maybe because I could tell that the, not necessarily the animated style, but the storytelling style kind of morphed from what you normally see in the animated series to what you see in these Unlimited series that come out straight to DVD. And then what, like I said, there's like there's one scene where it looked like it turned into Batman 66 for a moment. And yeah. But no, it was very good.
Yeah.
Oh, now all the calls are coming in. Yeah, Mr. Oh. Uh-oh. Hi, Tower.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I lost Doom, so let me add you in. I'm going to hang up on you and add you in.
Okay.
Skype. Why do you do this to me? All right, sorry about that. I tried to add somebody in, and I did it wrong. But I know what to do now. So, was you saying anything just now?
No, I didn't say nothing.
Oh, okay. All right, let's get in Mr. Hightower. And he might want to talk about what you want to talk about. All right, now you got to answer the phone.
The Defenders.
You got to answer the phone. Okay, you don't answer the phone. This is Skype for you. Anyway, now let's get to the Defenders. The long-awaited Netflix series by Marvel. Hey, Hightower, you there? You do?
I'm here.
Okay. So, we getting... was you calling in about what? Defenders? The Batman?
I was calling in about the Defenders.
All right, I'm gonna start there right now. Just give me a second to set this up.
I haven't watched all of it, so don't spoil everything.
No, we're not spoiling. I'm not gonna try to spoil. All right, so long-awaited Defenders. We went through two seasons of Daredevil, a season of Jessica Jones, a season of Luke Cage, and a season of Iron Fist, which most people hate. I mean,
I loved Iron Fist.
Well, listen, I didn't
I'll
like
see
it.
That.
But it was, I didn't think it was bad people made it out either. I made it through the whole season. And so, what's going to bring these four vigilante heroes of the streets the streets together to fight a common enemy, a common foe. Well, it starts off, boy Luke Cage, you know, he's just getting out of jail because he went to jail at the end of his series. And he's getting out after, you know, help from Froggy Nelson.
Froggy, that's my boy.
Who, you know, because if you remember at the end of Luke Cage, you know, the information that proved he was innocent and he shouldn't have went to jail in the first place was found. So they probably used that to get him out. Jessica Jones, you know, she's trying to decide whether she wants to stay in the detective business or not. And somebody comes to her with a case to find her husband because he's been missing for a few days. And that's not like him. And she reluctantly takes the job. Danny Rand, you know, him and sorry, let me get her name real quick because I just had it up. Colleen Wing, you know, they're on the hunt. They're trying to find a hand because when last you saw at the end of Iron Fist, and this is a spoiler if you care or don't care, they tried to go back to Kung Long and it's missing and it seemed like they found dead bodies. So he thinks Kung Long is destroyed. And I don't think he knows what he's thinking. I don't think he knows that for sure. But he knows he can't find Kung Long. And he found dead bodies near the entrance. And he feel like he let the Kung Lung down because it is his job to protect the entrance from the hand. And so he's on the hunt. And then Murdoch gets involved because he's been hired by Foggy, who now works for what's her name? I'll have it in a second. It's hard. Yo, Hogarth. He works for that company. She wants to keep Jessica Jones out of harm's way. So she tells Froggy, look, I want you to keep an eye on her. And so he in turn goes to Mac Murdoch and says, yeah, keep an eye on her for me and you get paid. So he comes in when she's arrested after the client she's looking for kills himself in her office. That, you know, I'm your lawyer, keep your mouth shut. And they all end up meeting when they go to confront the hand, who this time is led by Sigourney Weaver. She plays Alexandra Reed. Now, you wouldn't think she was a hand leader, but apparently she is. And she got her plans for destroying New York. And, of course, there's other hand members you would have met through all the other series, like Madame Gal and so forth. And you come to find out what they all have in common and how they all are part of the leadership of the hand. And this is another spoiler. She finds the body of Elektra Nachios and resurrect her. So now she has her as a killing machine to go out and do her bidding. And when these four meet up to confront Sigourney Weaver, they find out it's not as easy as you think, and they have to fight their way out, and then they become reluctant. They debate whether or not they are a team, whether they want to be a team, or they want to deal with each other. Half of them don't even want to deal with the hand. They know what the hand's about. They just want to get as far away from the hand as possible. But it's never that simple when it comes to the hand. And then when Stick shows up, played by Scott Glenn, he's like, look, you four are the only hope for New York. If y'all don't do it, then this city is doomed.
Okay, you spoiling this shit.
No, I'm not spoiling too much.
Okay, well, I'm on episode 2, so.
Okay, and I'm just saying, Stick shows up. You knew Stick. That's not going to be a spoiler that Stick was going to show up to try to convince them that they need to work together. Because, you know, he's been touting about fighting the hand ever since he's shown up in season 1 of Daredevil. So, and of course, you know, other characters show up. Colleen Wing is there. Misty Knight.
How about, let's stop doing the play-by-play server.
I'm not doing play-by-play. I'm just Misty Knight, she's involved. Trish Walker.
Karen Page.
No, I'm telling you all the characters, you know, that you've seen through these other shows. Claire Temple is involved in all this. And it's only 8 episodes. Now, I will say, the first 3 episodes is kind of slow up until they finally meet up. And then from that point, the action gets faster and the episodes get faster. But that Danny Rand, man, he needs the edumacation. He is not the brightest bub there is on this show.
And Surfer, he was away in another dimension for 17 years.
Okay, but
so no, this was going to kill me by everybody else. So say if I was living in Kung Lun for 18 years, I'm not going to be on the same mindset as somebody that's lived in the real world.
When I say he's not the brightest bub, when they're trying to explain things to him, like, look, this is what we need to do, he's not trying to hear it.
And the same for Daredevil?
No.
Everybody's hard-headed in that show.
Yes, but on different levels. But not as hard-headed as Danny Rand. They're like, look, we're all in agreement. This is what we need to do. He don't want to hear. He's set on this one thing that he's foolishly trying to do without trying to listen to nobody else or take help from anybody. He gets to a point where he thinks, if you're not thinking the way I'm thinking, you're in my way. And, I'm gonna fight y'all too if you know. And he's like, look, I'm not saying he's bad in this series at all, but you know they never really do need to work on his character some in season two.
It changed.
They need to work on is the that old lady. Who is she?
Who, Madame Gao?
Yeah, because it seems like not the old Chinese lady, the old white lady.
Man, you don't know
who Sigourney Weaver is?
Mr. Hightower, this is what you need to do. It's the army meet. What you need to do is give me 25 push-ups for not knowing who Sigourney Weaver was.
Yeah, how you know who Sigourney Weaver is?
No. I knew who the actor was. I just don't know by name.
You should have just said Sigourney Weaver. Then we knew who you were talking about.
No, you're talking about some old white lady.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of old white ladies.
Well, she ain't better than Mel Sheen, I know that. Okay.
Who?
Anyway.
Man, Sigourney Weaver is an icon.
And just like Mel Sheen is an icon, too.
I don't like Mel Sheen.
No, let's not get into who's better between actresses and all, but Sigourney Weaver, She's been in the harder hits, good. You know, she's Alien. Come on now, dude. Ghostbusters.
She's good. I just want to know, like, why is she kind of remind me of Kingpin right now.
Okay.
The way she acted.
And you got to watch the rest of the series.
Yeah, you
got to
watch
out.
The rest of the series. Okay, I mean, okay, so okay. She...
Kingpin, what, that's my dude right there.
All you got to know is... She's like one of the top people of the hand. And
she's not the main.
No, she is. Like for this series, she is. But they kind of explain, how her and Madame Gao, and it was a couple other. Let me get this other guy's name.
He was like the lone wolf.
No. Well, I don't know the Japanese guy's name. Is it Murakami? I think that was his name. But I'm talking about Bakudo. Like he was from Iron Fist, and he turned out to be a hand leader too. You know, he tried to pretend like you know he was a good guy, and then you find out, nope, he's running the hand too. But then you know, they explain. They explain what the hand is, like how the hand got started, where it came from. I'm not gonna spoil that. And you find out why they're doing the things they're doing, like they also what their ultimate goal is.
Yep.
Okay.
And then like you know you
I got a lot to watch, man.
You finally get the meet up between Colleen Wing and Misty Knight, Because you know they're the daughters of dragons in the comic book.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the fight scenes? Because I swear that you showed that how much more attention Finn Jones was a better. I think his fight choreography was a lot better.
It is an improvement because, like, you know, they kind of rushed the Iron Fist filming so they can get to the Defenders. Huh?
I don't really like Iron Fist. I mean, I had to stop and I went back, but it's still like,
What you need to do, this...
I do like the setup to the movie, because it's kind of like, to me, it was like this series has kind of evolved around him a little bit, for right now, for what I'm seeing.
But it makes sense when you watch the rest of the show, why it evolves around him, and it ties everything in there. But if you need to know a little bit more about the Iron Fist, you need to read the Immortal Iron Fist story. Their collected trade pad books.
Yeah, that's the thing. In the comic book, Danny Rand is not that dumb of a guy. I mean,
they intentionally dumbed him down a little bit. He's like, he's on the kind of same levels of Tony Stark in terms of power and wealth. He's worth, you know, Rand Enterprises is a real big, you know, he's like under Tony Stark.
And they like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
No, I was saying, like, Black Panther in terms of wealth is way above Tony Stark.
Everybody.
Then you got Tony Stark. Yeah, then you got Tony Stark. Danny Rand's like, yeah.
I don't know if Tony Stark is one of the richest, because he kind of goes broke quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then he gets his money, you know, he makes his money back. Him and and Reed Richards, they both go broke whenever it's convenient. Because Reed Richards could probably have more money than anybody other than the Black Panther, but you know, he ain't trying. See, he don't use his scientific genius to make money, so he really don't care. Like, he'll sell.
Way in the park.
Huh?
Way in the park.
I'm just saying, he'll sell off his inventions in a second. And don't you know, he's on to the next thing. He don't care. He sold out like a few times just to keep his family.
Lex Luthor.
Why are you bringing up Lex Luthor? That's DC.
Yeah.
No, we talking about Marvel. Yeah. We're not talking about.
Oh, talking about Marvel.
And then no, I don't think Lex Luthor got more money than the Black Panther. But anyway.
Nope. No. 5 billion or whatever, you know.
I mean, the man has the economy of a whole country. But let's get back to the Defenders. You finally get the meeting between Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and
that was really good.
Throughout the series, they start to talk more, and you can see, you know, like the friendship forming between those two specifically. You know, because they kind of think the same when it comes to certain things. When Danny Rand makes the comment that me and you, you know, we're the ones out here meant to keep the streets safe. And Luke Cage is like thinking in the background, maybe, you know, maybe he's right. Now, it would have been cool if Luke Cage said, look, I want to get paid. Because, you know, that was his whole stick. Yeah. It was like Heroes for Hire. It was like, you know, yeah, I'll do it. You know, you got the money to pay me.
Yep.
But, no.
You need to go and hit me.
What you say?
Say, so you need to, you know, who's going to give me this bill? You know what I'm saying?
That's right, you know. But, you know, that's not how they're going with him. You know, he just, you know, he's out of jail and he feels like he has to get out there. And really the glue to all four of them is Claire Temple. Because she's the one who's interacted with all four of these characters at some point. And it's like, she's the one, like, after Luke Cage and Danny Ray have a run in, they don't know each other, and Luke Cage is describing who he ran into. She's like, oh, I know who that is. Let me set up a meeting between y'all. And so they could, you know, they talk it out and everything. And like, Mac Murdock, him following Jessica Jones is how those two hook up, and then you already know that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones know each other. So when the four of them come together because of they have to, and they're like standing around trying to figure out who each person is, and they're finding out, well, yeah, we know each other, and we know each other, and so forth. It kind of, you know, helps them head towards them kind of working together, but they're all reluctant at this point because they've all been lone wolves, and let's see. So Sigourney Weaver, she's no joke when it comes to a villain. And then Madame Gao, that's a bad little woman.
Man, she was whooping, man. And not no spoilers, but well, I'm just disappointed in a lot of these people couldn't handle this old lady, man.
Well,
she was sitting there. I think she's Ryu's grandmother from Street Fighter.
Now, they explain. She's like centuries old. She know her stuff, and she apparently knows some mystical arts.
Tell you, she's Ryu from Street Fighter's grandmother, because she just put her hand up and shit just started blowing away.
Like, when they when they introduced her in the first season of Daredevil, she just seemed like she's a feeble old woman, and, you know, she's dealing with the Kingpin, and it's like, you know, I'm not gonna cross you, Kingpin, because you're the Kingpin. But then as you see her more and more throughout the different series, it's like, nah, this is a boss woman. And she knows when to say it. This is a losing situation. Let me step into the shadows and get out of here for next time, because I'm gonna be back. And some of the other hand members, they're not as, you know, they're not as bright as she is. But Sigourney Weaver, you know, there's a reason why she's the villain of this particular season. And her whole thing is they make it seem like, you know, because of health reasons, whatever plans that the hand have, she wants to accelerate it at this point, because she ain't trying to bullshit around now. And
I gotta know who the hand is. I want to know the mastermind behind all this shit.
Yeah. Like, Surfer, I gotta run. I'll see y'all back on the pre-show.
Okay.
You gotta do some stuff.
So you said you I'll got through. All right.
So what's up?
No, I just said, all right, talk to you later.
Okay. I mean, we're going to go in depth next week, you know, give a little, you know, people time to really watch it.
Some stuff. We can in a week or two, sure.
Okay. All right.
So,
I'll see you in about 40 minutes.
Okay. Now, see, Hightower. So you said you saw 3 episodes?
On the 3rd episode right now.
You're on the 3rd episode. So, you know, you've had all weekend. What you been doing? You've been taking care of some family or something?
No, I mean, like, what? No, I went camping.
Dude, you're not supposed to go camping when Marvel Netflix is released.
I know that. But I forgot.
Did you shoot a bear or a deer? Or did you catch a fish?
No, I didn't do none of that.
So what was you camping for then?
I was camping with my son. He go to school tomorrow.
I mean, what did y'all do out there?
That's the decision. We go swimming. Hold on. Keith, go. We go swimming. We go, we drink and eat. And, shit.
Eat what? You didn't hunt for your own food.
We don't do that. We do rich camping. They have a pool. They have a hot tub there. They have showers.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of camping that is. You're supposed to rough it. You're supposed to go out there with a tent.
You only sleep in tents outside. That's about it.
You're supposed to go with a tent and start your own fire and hunt for your own food.
Nah, we don't do that. That's camping. We don't do that. It's more like a retreat. But his birthday at kindergarten is tomorrow, so that's why we took him camping.
Stanley, there's no real old lady per se, and the grandmother from Street Fighter is a joke. So anyway, so for what you saw so far, what would you rate it?
It's a 5 stars. 5 stars.
Now, if I was
5 stars Celsius.
Now, I don't think it's better than Luke Cage or Jessica Jones or the Daredevil, but it's still pretty good. It's
better than Jessica Jones to me. I like the
action wise, yes. You know, this I mean, Jessica Jones wasn't an action series. That was more that was the most drama series out of them all, you know. And I will say, I found that on most of these shows, they're inconsistent on what these characters can do. Because Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, they're supposed to be hella strong. Yet you don't see that sometimes when they're fighting certain people. And they was getting tossed around by people you wouldn't think should be able to toss them around. Especially Luke Cage. It's like they forget that they're strong characters when they want to, when it's convenient for them to get beat up. Now, I know if it's too easy for them to fight whatever villains they're fighting, then it makes it boring, but they do need to be more consistent in what they're capable of doing. I mean, if you can lift a car, you shouldn't be thrown up against walls by people that don't that got your kind of strength. I'm just saying. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I liked it.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying. I just think sometimes they're inconsistent as to what the strength levels are when it comes to them getting to a fight. Now, the other thing is, these people need to learn how to communicate more. It's like everybody has some information that they're too afraid to share or think that they can't share. And then when they do share, and everybody else is like, what the hell you been holding on for that for? And it just went through that too many times with too many people. Like, why are you getting on me about what I didn't share with you, and you didn't share everything that you needed to share up front either? But you know, they had to have that kind of conflict between the four. This mic is getting on my nerves. Four main characters.
Yeah, I mean, I like the setup. I like how they all like. Well, I haven't seen all four of them met up yet, but like how Iron Fist met Luke Cage. That was a good scene right there. And Jessica and Daredevil, that's pretty fucking cool. So I can't wait to see all four of them actually together in one scene. I haven't seen that yet. So I like it. The director, whoever directing these shows, is doing a really good job.
Well, they use different directors for different episodes. There's never like one director for the whole season.
All three is pretty fucking good.
Now, of course, if y'all don't know who's playing the four main characters, Charlie Cox is Matt Murdock, Kristen Ritter is Jessica Jones, Mike Coulter, who's a serial cheater, if you saw Girls Trip, is Luke Cage. Did you see Girls Trip?
My boy.
Huh?
You know what? I don't like that damn black officer, man. Like, she just in everybody fucking business.
You don't like who?
What's her name? The black girl, the black officer.
Officer? Oh, you talking about Misty Knight?
Yeah, Misty Knight. Nosy ass. Get your ass down.
She's a cop. She has to do her job.
God damn, but she, you're a cop.
Right.
God damn, look.
Look, they've been keeping her in the dark as to what's going on. She's like, hey, all this shit going on around me, dead bodies are dropping left and right. I want to know what the hell's going on. I got to do my job. So Finn Jones is Danny Rand. Elon Young? Is that how you pronounce her name? Is Elektra?
Elektra.
And Jessica Hart Henwick is Colleen Wing. Scott Glenn is Stick. Sigourney Weaver plays Alexandria Wynn. Wade Choho is Madame Gao. And like I said, Gao, she's no joke. And Simone Mystic is Misty Knight, which I like. than everybody else is in here. Like they brought in quite a few characters that were just standing in the background for the most of it, other than Claire Temple, because it's like I said, since she's the one that knows everybody, she's the one that's, you know, she's the one that's kind of helping them all come to trust each other. Yeah, they just give her some powers or something, because she gets involved with all these heroes, and her life is in danger half the time anyway, which is why she went to go learn how to fight from Colleen Wings. She's like, after that whole hospital thing in season 2 of Daredevil, she's like, I can't be vulnerable like this no more. So, and the question is, who are they gonna fight for season 2? I didn't realize Debbie Morgan was in this. Probably didn't look at it and didn't recognize it, but I had to watch it again. Anything else you want to say about Defenders?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
That's about it. Just a good, very good series right now, and can't wait to see the rest of the rest of the season of these shows.
Well, got a few minutes to fill. Give you some news headlines. David Tennant is returning for season 2 of Jessica Jones.
But I'm about to cut out and start cooking up some stuff for SummerSlam though.
Everybody's leaving. All right.
Do some more. I'll be back on next week though.
Okay. Peace out, man. Yeah, so David Tennant is returning as the Purple Man in season 2 of Jessica Jones. And of course, you know what happened to him at the end of season 1. So he probably will be either flashbacks or just in her head messing with her still. My thing here. Okay, here we go. Sorry, messing up. Yeah, Deadpool 2 had to shut down because one of the stunt doubles died on set. And, you know, just not good decorum to keep filming after excuse me, a tragedy like that. Let's see what it says here. Following the death of stunt woman Joy S.J. Harris while filming in Vancouver, British Columbia on Monday, production on Fox's Deadpool 2 had to been shut down definitely. Harris was doubling for Domino in the fatal sequence, which was set to be her first stunt. Dang, got off to a bad start. Reports said she was not wearing a helmet when the crash occurred. An investigation by British Columbian law enforcement, as well as the Coroner's Service of WorkSafe BC, will take place to determine what happened to cause the first African-American female pro road racer accident. Ryan Reynolds, who played Deadpool, offered his condolences on Twitter. So, it's a tragedy, people. Sad to see that, you know, Deadpool had you know, that kind of a mishap. And hopefully no one else will get hurt. To maybe get hurt, then you think a movie's cursed, and that's not a good thing. And I hope they compensate her family for the mishap. My browser come back up. I can get to another story real quick. Come on, chameleon. I hate that song, to be honest. Anyway, oh boy, I just wish I was still talking about another review, because it'd be easier than trying to deal with this particular thing. Okay, almost there. Oh, so in a couple weeks, the Inhumans is supposed to debut in IMAX theaters for 2 weeks. The first couple episodes that they shot in IMAX. Well, the rumor is that Marvel kind of shot this on fast and cheap, and it's not looking that good. This is these episodes, and so IMAX have decided to only run this series for 1 week in the theaters instead of two, and going to move Stephen King's It to the IMAX theaters a week ahead of schedule. So that's not good for that. The Jetsons is getting a pilot for The Jetsons pilot gets a green light by ABC Network for a live action show. And the Jetsons, I don't think, would work as a live action show. Let's see what it says here. Opened up Open Sesame. Now, I'm a fan of the Jetsons cartoon from back in the day, but the ABC has given the green light to a live action Jetsons pilot, according to Variety. Gary Jannetty, who worked on Family Guy and Will and Grace, will write and executive produce the multi-cam sitcom, which is like its animated source, will be set 100 years from now. The original series was produced in 1962 and set in 2062. Warner Brothers Television is developing a live-action Jetsons pilot. Robert Zemeckis is executive producer, and WBTV plans its television outing. Warner Brothers Pictures is still developing feature film versions of the property, recently having done Sausage Party and Dr. Doolittle on. I don't know if the Jetsons will make a good TV show live action, but we'll see. And speaking of Marvel, anybody near Cinemark? Well, all the Marvel MCU movies are coming to Cinemark for a few days at $5 a pop. So you're going to get, each day you're going to get like a theme where you can see Iron Man, Guardians, Guardians 2, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Thor, Avengers, Age of Ultron, all the caps and so forth. And in addition, the concessions will have $2 large fountain drinks, hot dogs, dibs, and $3 popcorns and ices. And if you have the Cinemark connection, you can get 2 times the points per movie. Now, unfortunately, I can't go because the Cinemark near me is not going to be involved with it. My Cinemark never does anything for us. But if you live near one, and you know this had to be coming. There's going to be an Obi-Wan movie in development from Lucasfilm. And right now, Ewan McGregor is not involved with it. Now, I don't know if you think it would be cool if Ewan McGregor came back to reprise Obi-Wan, or they should get somebody else to play him. Maybe somebody in the age middle between him and the original Obi-Wan. But we'll see. But you know that had to been coming. Obi-Wan standalone movie. Now, there's been conflicting reports. First, Casey Affleck was saying that Ben Affleck was done playing Batman. He wasn't going to be in the Batman movie coming up. But Ben Affleck says, don't worry. He's still going to play Batman. I wish they make up their mind as to what they're going to do, whether he's going to play Batman or not. Because it would, could mess with the stock market. Lock and Key adds cast member Francis O'Connor. Now, I saw the Lock and Key pilot from before, and it would have made a good show if Fox hasn't gone through with it. So I hope this one will turn out just as well, and it actually does make it on TV this time. CM Punk, for all you wrestling fans, is going to write a new Shang-Chi one-shot. Now, I love Shang-Chi. I don't know if CM Punk can handle him, But Marvel kind of lets CM Punk write stories from time to time. And, yeah, The Walking Dead has its problems because the producers are suing AMC over the money. Apparently, they don't feel they're getting paid. They're going to sue up to $1 billion. So, that could bring Walking Dead to a crashing halt if they don't figure things out. Julian McMahon, you've probably seen him as Doom, Dr. Doom in the first two Fantastic Four movies. He was on Charmed. He was on, what was that show where he was some kind of doctor and he was getting all kinds of shit. So he's going to be on the cast of The Runaways. And he's going to play a character named Jonah. And the series will premiere on November 21st. The Runaways. Nick Fury, motherfuckers, is not going to be in Avengers 3 and 4. God damn it. And that makes me mad. And it makes him probably mad, too, that we ain't getting no Nick Fury. No Sam Jackson, people. I guess they got too many black people in there. They didn't want to put a fourth one in there. So, because then it makes it a black film. You put too many black people in the same film. Y'all didn't know that, did you? That's the way Hollywood looks at it. And those are the headlines for the news I got for this week. Now, of course, we got some shows coming up this week. But first, we got, in a few minutes, the WWE pre-show for SummerSlam. And that'll be at 6 p.m. So don't go nowhere after I end the show. Monday night, the Sports Report live at 11:15. Tuesday's a doubleheader of Shining Wizards at 7 and The Rant live at 9. Thursday's Rant and Wrestling at 9. Friday's is Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. I'll be back here next Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading comic book show. And with that, I'm going to end the show. So you can get on it, get on for our thing for the wrestling. So until then, I'll see you next week. Peace out.